Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman. A weekly psychic fusion of forward thoughts, far-out ideas, magical foray, and spellbinding song. Stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn. In the middle of a wonderfully intense tete-a-tete with Will Hasty here of Radio Free Brooklyn, and you are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Hello.
Yes. And you are part of Lost and Rewound.
Indeed. I am part of... I'm really enjoying this voice, but you know, in fact, perhaps I should go back to my regular voice. Uh-huh. But honestly, Velocity, it's been a pleasure. Seriously, it's incredible. Yes, I am Elon's guest host on the show Lost and Rewound. The tagline of Lost and Rewound is, time to get embarrassed with us. And...
it was very fun getting embarrassed with you guys.
Honestly, you were an amazing guest. Thank you very much for being on.
It was a pleasure, and that brought you here.
Indeed. I mean, hey, you know what? It introduced me to you, and you are an incredibly engaging person, Velocity. And
Thank you.
You have an incredibly unique sensibility about the world. And it's... hold on.
Just making adjustments, folks.
Yes, indeed. And it's... One of the no, I gotcha. It's one of the best. No, seriously, it's been a very, very sweet. Oh, hold on. I guess another slight adjustment. Hold on.
Yeah.
Just what did I miss? So, it's been an incredibly sweet adjustment. It's been an incredibly sweet meeting you and checking out.
Thank you.
Excuse me. We had a wonderful conversation. And you've been extraordinarily engaging. And well done. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Cooler, better headphones. So
they're
yeah.
A little worn out though. They're getting all peely.
No, but those are classic. Those are fucking amazing looking. They really are. Should I hop seats?
No. Sure. Why not? I think that's a good idea.
Do you want to stay standing?
No, I'll sit in just a momo.
Okay. All right.
I want you to start telling us a spinning a yarn for us.
So.
And I'm going to temporarily vacate the premises for just 2 minutes.
All right.
But you're going to spin a yarn for our listeners in that time.
Yes, indeed. So.
What would you like to share?
Well. Would you like a personal story, or would you like me to make up something totally insane?
You know, with your face, that accent is very convincing.
Really?
Yeah.
Velocity, you are the first person who ever told me that. Why, thank you.
Yeah. You're very British.
Do I look British?
Intensely. You could be
shut up.
You could be like in a historical film taking place in England many years ago. You have an old-timey vibe and a British vibe, so
there's no way in hell I'm pulling this off. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know. It's a corny accent, but it works with your it works with your face.
No, thank you very much.
Your face pulls it off.
But yeah, no, I mean it's a pleasure. Thank you. This has been no, seriously. You have enlightened me on a lot of different topics today. It's been very, very interesting talking to you.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Thank you.
This is a great conversationalist. Great conversation. What
story do you want to tell?
Well, would you tell me, would you like a personal story, or would you like something that is more along the lines of, or seriously, would you like me to just pull something out of the sci-fi randomness of my mind? You pick.
I like sci-fi randomness of your mind, because that's kind of why you're here.
All right.
Yeah.
Well...
I'll be right back.
Do your thing. So, I'm walking down the street, and I have to randomly call some old friends and say hello to random person I haven't seen in a very long time. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm sort of like, oh, hey. Wow. It's a random person. Cool. And then, you know, I kept walking. And all of a sudden, I came across a deep, deep, dark side street. And I had to turn down that side street. And as I turned down and started walking, I came across a bodega. And I thought, you know what I could go for? Let's see if there are any beers in here. And I walked in and I thought to myself, interesting. This is not someplace I necessarily have to get a beer. I can keep walking. Maybe there are better beers. Maybe there's a really, really good beer at the next bodega. But I was like, no. Stay seated. Ladies and gentlemen, my particular brand of randomness is brought to you by Willy's. And Velocity has returned, and I hope you don't mind that this random and totally completely improvised nonsensical tale was brought to you by Will. Because here's the thing, guys. On a dark, stormy world, as a star's slow rise, sunlight can barely even touch the surface. On a world where the sun shines cold, we come across a great open plain to a structure of existence. It's a bunch of rocks. But no, it's not. Wait, there's little bits of movement around it. And as we slowly start to push in on this great pile of rocks that we see is actually a massive thing out across this great open plain of just sand and black holes.
Yeah. Do it.
And on this plane of sand and black holes, we came across a creature that...
You don't want to whisper, though, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
We want to hear you.
Oh, my God.
So, I'm not kidding. Try this with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something and then respond to it. Uh-huh. We're just going to hop back and forth and do...
Like a word game?
Sort of.
It's like a word association?
You ever played any improv games?
I mean, not a very long time, but I used to. I did 12 years of acting training, so...
Yeah, so I'm going to say something. And you just say something back in response.
I'm going to treat it like word association, because that's...
Perfect.
Closest thing to my knowledge now.
I mean, I'm sort of in the same boat right now, honestly. So I was walking across a wonderful sandy. I was walking across a wonderful sandy beach.
Uh-huh.
And on that sandy beach, I came across this random shell. I picked it up and I looked at it.
I thought we were doing word association. No?
Okay, fine. Home.
Home? Blessing.
Time.
Frustration.
Accomplishment.
Good.
Goal.
Life.
Hope.
Winning.
Love.
Everything.
Spelling.
Bees.
Witchcraft.
Conjure.
Safety.
Boredom.
Protection.
Protection.
Yeah.
Family.
Family.
Mm-hmm. Ideally, what you would like to think of family as.
True. No, but don't, honestly, I would have thrown that. Family.
Yeah, that's what...
I know, I'm saying.
Yeah.
In the word association.
Yeah.
Family.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that.
Family. That's why I have chosen family. Chosen family. Did I tell you my chosen family story?
Yeah.
No, but I'll tell
Which
you
one?
Here.
Which one?
I haven't told it on Fallen Woman yet, so I might as well.
You haven't told the story on Fallen Woman?
About the tattoo in New Orleans?
No, you didn't. Well, I didn't know you'd not say that on the air.
I don't know if I did or not.
That's incredible. Well, but if you're
willing. A group of friends of mine and I decided, you know, we're so close.
Yeah.
We all feel like chosen family.
Yeah.
Let's all get a chosen family tattoo.
That's beautiful.
I originally went with Dick Jones and Oz. And they're a wonderful couple, and they met through me, I'm very honored to say, because they're a beautiful couple. And I was staying with them, and they went with typewriter font. I went with little girl hand scribble, like to match my other ones.
Yeah.
And a day later, my friend Reverend Mother Flash was like, I want to be chosen family too. And she went and got Victorian script. I went with her. But the day I went with Dick and I, I was assigned this tattoo artist. They just hand, you know, here you are. He's going to do you. And he's putting the stencil on. And he looks like a roadie from the 70s. Like, he could have been in the movie Almost Famous. Like, he had that whole vibe. He was baked off his ass. He's putting the stencil on. He's like, all right. And I'm just thinking, it's no big. I'm just flying with, going with the flow. And he picks up the tattoo needle, and he brings it to my flesh, and just when he turns on the tattoo needle, I look down and I see my arm where the stencil is, and I'm like, oh, hey, is it chosen spelled with one O, right? That's pretty sure. And then he was like,
my chosen family.
Yeah. And then he was like, well, I didn't get into tattooing for my grammar.
Oh, and that's not even grammar. Oh.
He felt so bad, though. He couldn't even look at me, poor guy. So he gets up and he goes over and he's correcting the stencil. He's at the copy machine. And his boss rolls by, big biker looking dude.
Yeah.
Rolls by the door between me and the copy machine, and there's my tattoo guy, and there's me, and he's looking back
That's
and
so
forth.
So fucking good.
And then his boss just takes one long, hard look at me, sizes me up, goes, yeah, because we be choosing around here. And that's
so good.
That was in December. That was.
Are you serious?
Chosen family.
Yeah.
Right after I moved here, I had the word home in this little house.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Put on before that by Good Juju Tattoos. That's my girl.
Oh,
yeah.
That's beautiful.
Do you have any ink?
No.
Do you ever think about getting ink?
Yes. What I wanted to do was, assuming this next show becomes a.
The forearm?
Well, originally, assuming the show, the, you know, that show I'm working on now becomes a hit,
uh-huh.
which is a big hope. So if that actually gets accomplished, put the cityscape, the outline of it on right here on my forearm. Because originally I wanted a really, really, really detailed version that would be like that big. But I found out that it was going to be extraordinarily hard to make something that small and with that much detail.
You know, even they even encouraged us when we got these little words put on, like, the bigger the better, it's more legible, it's cleaner.
Yeah.
Go big or go home.
Makes more sense. I mean, also, like, are they paid by the square inch?
No, it's usually by the hour.
Oh, right on. Duh.
Mm-hmm. Like a prostitute.
But what was the madam who, Jesus, that first
woman.
Oh,
I showed you
totally
the trailer
insane.
For Harlots, because I think everybody needs to be watching Harlots on Hulu. It's written by women, it's directed by women,
that,
and it's
that,
very
my
relevant
God.
As far as sex work goes.
Seriously.
Even today.
That and that older, my God, that older sort of two rival woman brother, being like, brothel houses. I don't give a shit. Sorry.
Yeah, Madame Quigley you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the, a bitch. The tough, first one, badass. She's such a bitch. She's evil.
I have to say, I only saw the trailer, and again, as you said, right as you played it at the top of the show, holy shit.
Yeah. No, you're going to have to binge watch that shit.
The first thing it made me think of was, I'm not kidding. Fine, I'm just going to be honest because I can't bury it. I buried this story. Was the concept of one of these brothels in this sort of, in a very dystopian city. And just how they fight it out. Wow, I'm omitting a lot here, but my head is very much in one world right now. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But point is, the idea is, think of this in the most bare-bone terms. It's a story of two. You're right.
Yeah. You
just had a very profound physical reaction that seemed like some type of realization. What you were physically twitching at.
Oh, I'm an empath. It happens all the time.
So what does that signify? So what does that signify?
No, I have to hear what you have to say first. I have to hear the rest of the story.
Okay. So basically what I'm thinking in most people in terms is about two rival brothels in a dystopian city where, you know, most people know they're fucked. Mm-hmm. Most people are born into a life that they can't change. And most people have nothing to do but hope and very slowly learn that they're never going to be what they want to be and that they're never going to be able to achieve what they want to achieve.
But you can always be happy.
And you can always be happy. And so the thing is,
it's a choice.
Despite that, these two rival houses are fighting through. They are trying to make a living for themselves. And in making a living, each of these different people has a belief and a pursuit that they are following, which is sometimes just life, and sometimes what the two madams are following, which is ambition and this idea that now I can change the fucking world in front of me.
Yeah, would that we could.
Indeed.
The world changes its own damn self. We just along for the ride, I feel like, sometimes. And maybe that's very Gen X of me. You know, after we watched the baby boomers.
I guess technically. And their hippie generation
wanting to change the world and actually making it very Reagan era 80s, yuppified.
Yeah,
and then we were the disillusioned punk kids of these hippies going, are you serious?
I thought I was.
You're voting Republican now. You raised me as a feminist and a liberal, and now you're voting Republican, and you might as well, like, be in The Handmaid's Tale. What? Like, serious?
I mean, honestly, my thing is I was sort
I'm positive. I haven't spoken to my mother in 4 years, but I'm positive she voted for Trump. She voted for Bush bullshit. Twice.
Hey, you know what?
Twice.
The thing is, I thought that things were getting as bad as they possibly could get with George Bush getting elected. But and especially getting elected for a second term. I never believed that was going to happen, and that showed my lack of engagement, but
yeah,
or at least it showed my lack of engagement at the time.
It's as if we're all under some big bubble.
Yeah, oh my god,
totally
yeah.
Unaware.
I do love that concept, and just the idea that we're trapped in our own
reality belief
systems. Yeah, I mean we always are. You once mentioned something about this to me. Do you remember
which
the reality?
Yeah, Prometheus Rising.
Yes.
The book by Robert Anton Wilson.
Yes.
The original book I read that, for me, spelled out the secret or the law of attraction, but used quantum physics to really dig deeper and also provided some fun exercises along the way.
Are you willing? Would you be willing to describe that to me now? Because it is insanely interesting.
What?
The main focus of Prometheus Rising?
Well, is that the brain is divided up into two parts, the thinker and the prover. Mm. So when you start to think something, the harder you think on it, the rest of your brain sort of sets about proving that reality for you.
Mm.
And then it gives you some exercises. Like if you imagine you walk outside your front door every day, and you find a quarter. Mm. You're going to find one every day. At least on your way to work. And then you're going to have a giant jar of reality tunnel quarters. That's one of the exercises. That's one of the first ones.
How high does it say it's going to go? In terms of order of magnitude or power?
I think that depends on...
Can you describe the philosophy of it?
I think for me, personally, I think that would depend on the wattage of your soul.
That's a... Wow, that's an awesome fucking concept.
Like, how much energy did you bring into this life in the first place? That's what you have to work with. Some people are 100 watt. Some people are 50 watt. Not to say that they're lesser. Just saying that there's a certain energy level, a dynamic. Like, let's look at Robin Williams, for example. I brought him up earlier. Mm-hmm. He's what I would call a 100 watt person. Somebody that's vibrating on a really high frequency at rapid pace, and energy is just flying through him, you know. And there are some people that work a little more focused, a little more still.
I sometimes think it would be better that I should be more still.
Well, you're just not that wattage. Sorry, buddy. Drink some chamomile. Chamomile will be good. Passion flower, by the way. Incredible stuff.
I gotta check out passion flower.
It will change you.
But yeah, no, honestly, sometimes I feel like I should be a little bit more... I should be a little bit slower, but... I don't know.
What's your project that you're really diving into right now? Can you talk about it?
Not really.
Oh.
I had
everybody... Can you talk about your inspiration?
Oh, absolutely.
There we go. Your muse can be...
Well, you know what? You know what? Philosophy, just because I fucking love this book, and this was a huge influence on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's something called Perdido Street Station by China Mieville.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first... Like, I'm a sci-fi nerd, right? Like, I love science fiction novels.
I could tell by your Instagram...
True. True. But there's one aspect of it called Jesus Christ. The whole book It's called Jesus Christ. No. It's a that there's a huge part. I was giving myself shit there.
I'm trying to imagine like a sci-fi Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's a great concept. No, I'm not kidding. Like, good sci-fi tackles crazy messiahs. And not necessarily, you know, it's not knocking anybody's belief system. I'm not saying Jesus was a crazy messiah.
They think of Russell Brand and get it to the Greek when he's like,
oh my God, yes.
Some sort of white space Christ.
He's like, I'm white space Christ.
Yeah, so
great. You know what I need? A Jerry.
Yeah. A Jeffrey.
A Jeffrey, fuck.
Yes, right. Pet the furry wall.
Furry walls. I don't remember the song, but just singing and saying
the
words.
Something
like that.
Yeah.
But I know, Perdido Street Station is about a post-industrial London. It's a fantasy novel. And the idea is that there's a bunch of different species fighting, who live in the city. And there's a ton of racism in it. And all these different species are trying to live all under humanity, and it literally is Penny Dreadful era London, but with machines and science and all this sort of stuff. But it's still that era where everybody's poor and there's no real medicine, and you know, 300 people to one.
And
vote.
Ankles are sexual, and they have to wear long skirts.
The opening scene is the main character fucking his girlfriend, who is a female from the neck down. And this is so weird, and it took me three times to get through this part, but think of it this way. It's a whole city where there's an entire species of creatures that are like this, where you got female from the neck down, and you got beetles for heads, and he's fucking this thing, and you're like, what the fuck is this? And the whole idea is that it's actually a girl of a different species that communicates, and so they only communicate through sign language, and yet they fall in love.
She's the head of a beetle.
Yes, because that is her species.
That's really scary.
And she's a sculptor.
Oh, that sounds tragic.
I know, right?
It's so sad.
But no, he's a scientist, and he discovers how to sort of tap...
sensitive sculptor with the head of a beetle.
I know.
Oh.
She gets hired by a mob boss to make a sculpture of him. And he thinks that he cheats him, and she beats her to death, mostly. and sends parts of her to Isaac.
Her body parts, not her beetle head.
Part of her beetle head, her beetle legs, and her beetle wings.
Oh my god, antennae.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And he falls. Ah. Yeah, right. It's pretty horrific. But in the city, and but Isaac figures out this engine that the city comes after. There's an ambassador to hell. It covers a bunch of different species. Their creatures call. It's an insanely complex, very, very, like, beautifully lyrically written book. It's one of those books where the narrator is right in your fucking face. You know. Well, I mean, the thing is, he tries to be as invisible as possible while describing these very, 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 like, rich, rich worlds. And it's very intense, but, like, there's a seditionist newspaper, there's a little, you know, there's a species just of birds. This one bird comes to Isaac and is like, please give me my wings back, because he fucked with his people, and so they sawed his wings off. And so Isaac is a scientist and is trying to figure out how to let this guy fly again, because he's been flying forever. It's really intense and
visceral.
Yeah. One of my favorite, oh God, the worst is a woman who they talk about just while they're having a drink in a pub. Tell me to shut up at any point.
Okay.
And they talk about a woman who is because one of their friends is an underground newspaper writer talking against the government, because the government is only serving the rich in this world. Book was a huge influence on me. And Isaac and Durkin is the woman's name. She writes for a newspaper called Renegade. And she literally goes over to it's called Renegade Rampant, and she walks over to oh my god, I have to change the name of the newspaper, and she goes to and she now in the story I call seditionist newspaper Renegade Rampant. It was an homage, but no, I really have to change that. That's just not fair. That's just called stealing. But anyway, good writers borrow, great writers steal. How's that?
Right.
Anywho. They go over to, Durkin talks to him, and they talk about a woman who, because there's this whole place in the city called the Ribs, which are like skyscraper size, but they're really just the rib cage of this massive monster. They've never found a skull, they've never found hippos, but literally, they're these massive, I'm sorry, ribs of this massive monster. And so people literally have their openings in them that are just like the regular old bones, and they built shit around it, and they live in that. And a woman got so crazy because her kids were crying. And the ribs are untouchable. You put paint on them, paint won't dry. You try to drill new holes in them, your tools break. But this woman can't stand...
You can't hang a painting up for
this. Yeah, I know. Fuck that shit. You gotta put up some wood and then hang your shit on that. But anyway, point is...
Maybe Velcro.
Woman gets... Maybe Velcro, but I feel like it just slip off. But this woman gets so sad from baby crying, she throws her baby out the window, literally. Just because she can't take it. Baby dies. And this is part of the punishment, and it'll lead into a very big part of this world. It's what they call remaking, because magic's a thing. And they treat it scientifically in this book, which every time somebody said that to me, I mean, that's total bullshit. But they treat magic very scientifically. And Isaac is a theoretical physicist, and his entire concept is about thaumaturgons, which
science
are
is particles. The other side of magic.
I feel like, yeah, two sides.
Alchemy.
There you go. And they, but literally, this they take the baby's arms off, reanimate them, and stick them in the woman's forehead. And the baby's arms will always be doing their own thing for the rest of this woman's life. And the woman can't control them, but they're there as a reminder to her of what she did. And they remake people. They give them new limbs. They take off things, and they just can make them part of your nervous system, because they're like, they could make hexes that sculpt people like clay.
Wow.
And so it's horrific, some of the stuff that they do. And so this is what I love about this book. They explore all these aspects of society with, what if this kind of magic was real? And I was never into fantasy novels. And this thing sort of opened my eyes to all these ridiculous possibilities that were treated very realistically.
I always prefer fantasy.
It's so dark.
Sci-fi.
Sorry?
I've always been more of a fantasy girl as opposed to sci-fi.
I love this. You know Arthur C. Clarke?
Mm-mm.
Well, he's a great fucking sci-fi author. And one of his favorite books, or one of his sayings, he has laws, quote unquote, which are just like, well, it's a whole long discussion, but... The third law is, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Mm. Ooh, very cool.
So good.
Really?
Yeah.
God of rum. God of what else?
Knives.
Making rum. Knives.
Remover of obstacles.
Remover of obstacles.
He's a bad motherfucker. Don't fuck with him.
Damn.
He's very serious in the forest.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He's so, again, a connection to the forest that you have.
Yeah, lately.
Yeah.
But you were talking about technology and
well, no, any any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. So, like, hey,
and that made me look at him because he's
magic
part god of technology as well.
Oh, right on! You said he loves technology,
and then I was like, oh, magic technology.
I'm sorry, I totally missed the connection. Well done.
Yes. Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of Dogen? Or tell me about how did you start worshiping Dogen?
I don't know. I think it started with my knife act.
Really? Oh, when, that's so personal. Oh,
I've
that
been
does
doing
make
it
sense,
since
96, it?
95, 96.
What did you, so what drew you to the knife act? And would you be willing to describe the knife act?
I can't describe it. You have to see it.
Understood. And it's actually...
But it does involve masturbating with a butcher knife. For me, it was... I didn't start having full memory recall of the molestation I had as a child until I was about 25. Muscles have memory. And I think because I was on the pole and suddenly... I was never athletic. I'd like to swim, but I was never really athletic. And I think because I was on the pole, I was straight up reactivating, reanimating muscles and their memories. Anyway.
Do you want to talk about
that? Long story short.
No, please. Do you want to talk about
that? The knife is a phallic symbol.
True.
And when I take it and I put it to the sticking place between my legs, I have control over it. And the fact that most of the time it doesn't cut me. Sort of like when someone walks across hot coals, that spiritual rush is sort of what happens when I do my knife act. It's like I'm taking it back somehow.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible. That's a...
But
that's a real act.
About you.
No. Whoa, velocity.
Let's not get off track.
Velocity. That's. Thank you for sharing that with
You're
me.
Being a host with me now.
Stop it. No. That's no. Stop it. That's an incredible. Thank you for sharing that with me. That's an incredibly personal detail.
Sure. Yeah. Well. Yeah.
And the fact that I mean that's a seeming incredible reclamation and an empowerment of that's incredible.
That's why I do
that's
it.
Absolutely incredible.
It's worth it.
Yeah. I mean that you're. It's empowering. You get to. I can't imagine how...
You're a performer.
Yeah. The crack high of being on stage and getting people... And getting
What was your most favorite gig that you've had in recent times that you really...
Honestly, the most favorite gig I've had in recent times... Well, specifically performing, and I'm not kidding. This is sort of... oh, God. Wow. I'm really going to say this. The most fun part of performing you've ever had was literally the last time I was on stage, which doesn't mean like the last time I was on stage, meaning like
ever.
No. That's exactly what I'm not saying. It's and I said it that way, so my bad. But I mean, every time I'm on stage, it's the best time because that is crack like for me. Oops.
And you don't ever feel like you've never disappointed yourself. You've
of course. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? I crash the vast majority of the time.
I have this thing where I'm only as good as my last performance. And then if I'm not satisfied with it, then it haunts me until I can perform again.
Exactly the same way. I am exactly the same. Well, not exactly the same way, but like there is a huge part of me that is very much that way.
Yeah.
And I get that. You know what I mean? It's very hard.
What did you do at your last performance?
Well,
is this,
I mean, you consider...
Is this hard
I mean,
to tell out of school? Or?
Well, no, not at all.
You got this look like, uh-oh.
No. I mean, it's the last improv performance was... We haven't done an improv performance as a team in a while, like almost 2.5 months, just because I've been writing on the show.
Okay.
And, but...
The one we can't talk
in
about.
In terms
yet.
Of... Yeah, sorry.
But we will.
But in terms of, I mean, it is a show, the show itself is called Polarity, and it is a sci-fi political thriller slash adventure.
Show that we're not supposed to talk about.
And we have an Instagram, I can say that. But I can't talk about any details.
Share your Instagram with them. People should look at this.
The Polarity Instagram is polarity_official.
polarity_official on Instagram.
polarity_official.
Mm-hmm. OFFICIAM.
Yes. Thank you. because literally, I almost grabbed my phone to be like, official spelled with two F's, right?
Because we'd be choosing around here.
Right. So how are you, brain? Honestly, not so good right now, mate. But you know what? It'll be all right.
Blame it on me. It's fine.
Why am I blaming it on you? Velocity, seriously. This has been an incredible time. This has been a wonderful time. Oh, fuck off. This has been... No, seriously. You've been a wonderful hostess, Velocity. This has been a... You and I have had some incredibly interesting conversations.
You're officially only the second guest I've had here since I've been unpacking for 75 days.
Jesus. Really?
So it's really a pleasure to, finally break in the house of hag.
I mean, do you want here, please talk about the website and the physical store of House of Hag.
You're hosting me and stop it.
No, you just plug Polarity. We gotta plug this. Sorry I have to be so coy about it, but
houseofhag.com, HAUS of Hag, HAG.com. this store is finally open again this week. Thank Christ.
Yow!
And I have some brand new special spell soap to heal your broken heart called Emotional Rescue. It is a vegan friendly olive oil base with turmeric, as well as many special things to make it smell in a way that when you inhale it, you feel a sense of relief. And then I have a new banishing spell candle coming. But outside of that...
I have to say, the scents of both of those are quite powerful.
Oh, yeah, you smell them coming in.
Yeah.
Because I just made them last night.
They are, honestly, they seem... You gave me that lovely oil, and I have to say...
Byzantine, however you say it.
It was supposed to imbue power and a sense of self-confidence, and I have to say, I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
That's a big compliment.
It did. I took it. It was very empowering.
Thank you. And I wanted to ask you about your improv group. We haven't talked about it at all.
I know, fuck. But, Velocity, I just gotta say, it has been such a pleasure being on your show. It really, really has. And I gotta say, thank you so much for inviting me to be on this.
Yeah, and the next time, the next time you're here, you can tell us all about Polarity.
Oh my God, I cannot wait. I seriously cannot wait.
Yeah.
There's just a couple, there are a couple aspects that we have to sort of sign and close, but after that, I would love to come on again and give you the full rundown, because seriously, you will love this shit. You and I are going to talk about this just outside of this show anyway, but
next month.
Hopefully
you'll be able to talk about it.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And you shall see.
Yeah.
Realistically, it'll probably be more like 3 months, but aside from that. but late June. But aside from that.
The top of your head.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite songs right now that you like to listen to?
Honestly. Take a Bow by Kasabian, which is a fairly new song that was just sort of a kick, and is sort of a kick. Mm-hmm. I love a lot of, I still do have such a soft spot for David Bowie, and I do love a lot. Well, what I've been listening to a lot recently again is Led Zeppelin, and I'm not shitting you, the London Philharmonic plays Led Zeppelin, which is an orchestral version of Kashmir and Led Zeppelin 4. And it's just awesome.
Excellent. Well, folks, expect those tunes coming up in just a moment. Courtesy of our fabulous guest, Will Hasty.
Oh, come on.
Thank you for being here and being fabulous.
Thank you for having me on. been so fucking amazing. And seriously,
hella fun.
Gotta watch that show. So good.
Oh yeah, Harlots. Gotta watch it.
I'm definitely gonna binge the shit out of that. Velocity, seriously, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And if you like censorship-free radio and want to support it, please go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. And you can hear archive shows of Fallen Woman at fallenwoman.com. And please tune again midnight, at the stroke of midnight, every Friday, and you will have a piece of Fallen Woman. And thank you so much, Will, for being here.
Of course.
And we will see you next week.
Can I add one thing?
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to say, Radio Free Brooklyn is an amazing spot. And please go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/donate. And you can give funds.
It's changed.
To the Radio Free Brooklyn organization that allows us to continue functioning so well.
Where do we find Lost and Rewound?
You can find Lost and Rewound on the Podomatic app and on iTunes, as well as I believe you can find Fallen Woman.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much, Velocity.
Thank you, and sweet dreams, Jelly Beans. I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman. A weekly psychic fusion of forward thoughts, far out ideas, magical foray, and spellbinding song. Stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn.